Hi everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until we've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week we're looking at element 6.2.3, community engagement. It's part of Quality Area 6, Collaborative Partnerships with Families and Communities, and it's the third and final element of Standard 6.2, Collaborative Partnerships. The description for this element is, the service builds relationships and engages with its community. All right, so what's this element all about? This one's really straightforward. I think this one, I sort of mentioned this last week, but I think this is probably even more true. This is really, I think, kind of what we think about when we think of Quality Area 6. If you ask people in general what Quality Area 6 is about, it's those relationships with communities. And this element is really drilling down into that. So it's about acknowledging that services are based in and they are part of the communities they're in. And this is true in rural regional areas as well as metro areas. They're all communities of a kind and they're all places where children and their families live. And this element is also saying that, as well as acknowledging that services exist in those contexts, we need to help children explore this idea, both in sort of a physical context in terms of exploring their community, but in a more general context as well. What does it mean to be part of a community? All right, so let's think about this sort of idea in practice. Reflecting the community as an idea. So when we think about where centres are based, that they can be based in, you know, very different kind of kind of areas, kind of context. There might be services where they're the only early education service for hundreds of kilometres. There might be ones where they're the fourth early childhood centre in a particular block. But these are all informing who and what they are. So in terms of how we reflect the community is a really interesting process. So it's kind of about asking questions. So sort of who are we? Where are we in a geographical sense? But for me, it's about like what is important in our community? What makes this community unique? What are the things that this community is facing that we're exploring and engaging with? In particular, we might want to think about what are the views of children and families in this community? Is this an area where children and families are supported and there's lots for them to do and to engage with? Or there might be communities where children and families are struggling and it's difficult to access services. It's difficult to access health and wellbeing services as well. So asking those questions as a starting point is a really important process. In terms of how we do that, that's really up to the individual service and the individual community they're in. But, you know, reaching out, forming connections with other either, you know, other services, other early education services, or, particularly like health services, I tend to find they often do similar outreach and engagement with the community. But it may be worth looking into what are the things families and children access outside your centre. That's often a good place to start about how we sort of reflect those community views. For a lot of services as well, it might be worth thinking about, are there broader definitions of community? So there might be the communities of local early education services, which you could be part of. If you're part of a national or state-based provider of services, you'll be part of a community of other services that are located in other parts of the country. So really thinking about what that sense of community can mean, and I guess, you know, how meaningful it is to children is probably a good starting point. And then the next sort of thing to think about in practice is how we can actually support that understanding of community. And for me, this is really about that idea of civic participation. And I've talked about this in quite a few other elements of this series, but this idea that we actually, our image of child should include a concept that children are not just learning about the community and not just sort of ticking a box in sort of the NQS or the EYLF, that children are part of the community. They are actually, you know, participants. They actually have things to contribute. They have ideas. They have things they can share with the community, and they can make our community better. This is a really important part of thinking. It's a tricky one because I think what tends to happen is the default thinking of children in terms of how they contribute is that children don't really contribute until they're 18, until they can vote. and, you know, do those other things. We might, in some cases, we may think about, you know, older children doing work experience and those kind of things, or we might see community participation in that way. But often we think, and it's a very sort of legal context, but that's a really important thing to challenge because that disadvantages children. So it says that, particularly young children, because it says that there's a method of participating in our community that only you can reach at a certain age. And that's you know, that locks out children from participating, particularly in this day and age right now. We want to really think that we're really hearing the voices of children. We look at people like Greta Thunberg and the school strikes for climate. We're actually seeing this is children participating in civic society. Now, protesting is one way to do it, but we want to think about with the children we are working in, are there ways they can actually contribute to the community that we're either not giving them the chance to do or that the community may not think they're ready to do? But the looking at those ideas in the communities where children can participate, it may be something as simple as a fundraiser for a particular project. It might be contributing to a working bee at another organisation or something like that. You can start with these kind of ideas, but you might be surprised how far that can go and how much children can contribute to. There's been some, you know, amazing examples of children contributing to things like National Moves to have the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flag flown on Sydney Harbour Bridge. We've seen children participate in what their thinking is about that and that they could actually collect petitions and do those kind of things. So there's a huge way we can support the civic participation. It shouldn't just be about bringing the community into children and sort of showing them what community can look like. The important thing about community is that's people coming together and making our communities better, and children can participate in that so well. The best way to learn is by doing. So if we're going to help children learn about community, the best thing we can do is get children involved in the community. And then the last thing to sort of think about here for me, for all services, is really thinking about those ideas of embedding Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander perspectives. If we have that context of community as sort of the context we work in, the history and the land, it's important to remember in Australia, no service in Australia can get past the idea that we are on Aboriginal land, that that we are all working within that broader context of, 65,000 years of history that's preceded the services we're working in at the moment and the children and families we're working with. So from a community engagement perspective, this really has to be something we think about and engage. And it can start at that, you know, fairly straightforward level at the start, which is knowing the local language group that we are a part of. I'm recording this on Ngunnawal land, and you'll be listening on different lands all around this country. But it's important to remember this is something from our first principle of that of deciding, you know, who we are and where we are. That has to be where we start, because that is the history we all share, and we are all part of the. You know, what that means today as well, and the challenges and structural disadvantages faced by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and families, is intrinsically connected to that idea of land and community, and that has to be the starting point. So before we, you know, think about all the other things, that has to be something we at least consider and make sure we have an approach about. All right, let's have some suggestions now for nominated supervisors. This one, again, really thinking about, you want to have a good knowledge of your local community. One of the roles, I think, of the nominated supervisor is kind of having that sense of I know where I am and where the context of my centre is. So just a couple of fairly practical, I think, examples here, because there's sort of an overarching advice around get to know your community, which is obviously easier said than done, but I can't give you specific advice on that. What I would say is really think beyond that come and share your skill invitations. I think that's something that we sort of leap to immediately when we think about how can we can meet this element or how we can engage with Quality Area 6 is we put out an email saying, do you have a skill or do you do something in the community? Can you come in and share it with children? That can be a good place to start, but we want to think about, is there a deeper way we can engage with that idea? Really thinking about your local area and community, how could you find out more? Where would there be information about your local community? And importantly, you know, bring educators along on that journey. One of the things I think we can sometimes fall victim to is that we think because we need to be child-centered in our practice and we need to obviously have a huge focus on children, We can start projects at that level, and we sort of immediately start working with children. One of the most important things to do is that actually we need to work as a team first. Educators need to know what they're teaching or exploring, at least to some level, before we sort of start engaging with children. Educators need to have a good idea of where we're going and what's going to happen along the way. So spending time, devoting time as educators to learning about your local community first before then leaping into things with children is really important. And that's also particularly important, I think, for engaging with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander perspectives. Educators need to feel comfortable that they have some knowledge about what they're doing before they engage with children. It's one of the things I think that stresses educators out around that particular idea, is that they're having to explore ideas that they're not comfortable with themselves. So absolutely devote the time as a team. Teach yourselves first, then start teaching children. It's always a really good strategy. And then the other idea is really just, you know, working with your team, engaging, throwing it out for discussion, how can children meaningfully participate in the local community? And when I'm saying meaningfully, it means something that's actually having a real impact. So not something we've, you know, made up or pretended, or we've constructed as this idea of what being a community was like. The analogy I would use, when, you know, if in setting up a handprint exercise where every child puts their hand in puts it on some paper, and they've done an art activity. My argument would be they haven't really. They've just copied and they've created the same production line of stuff. We want the same approach in terms of engagement with the community. Don't just do something that's been created by adults to teach a particular thing. Look for those opportunities. Where can children actually participate? Where will their voice be important? Where can they see their actions have results? That's the really important thing. When experiences are meaningful, and they're real and they're sincere, that then that's where children can really engage in some amazing learning. So what are the opportunities in your local area? They might not be immediately apparent. You might have to do some digging and some research. You might have to wait a little while, but that's a really important part of engaging with this element for me. And then the quality improvement plan. So just a couple of points here. One would be educators have a strong understanding of their local community, and particularly how children and families engage in the community. So this is really about that idea of, we just want to have the goal of getting to know our community and thinking deeply about it. And then the second one would be children are given multiple and diverse opportunities to contribute to and learn from the local community. So really getting in that idea of that communication goes both ways. The engagement with the community can be the community coming into us, but also us going out into the community. And also that we think of multiple ways to do that. We don't just sort of have this one one tick box approach, I should say. Well, we've invited someone into the centre and we've sort of done that. What are different ways that all of the children in the service can contribute? All right, that's it for this week. We've now wrapped up quality area 6. I'm pretty amazed we've only got one quality area left. I'll be back next week with an overview of quality area 6. So we'll be doing another one of those overview episodes, then a break, and then back to finish off quality area 7. Thanks so much for everyone who's been joining in the journey. I hope you've been enjoying it. And until next week, where we do our wrap-up episode of quality area 6, it's goodbye from me.